You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
September the 25th of 2024. The time is 8:07. Beautiful start here in downtown Wausau at our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. Sunny skies and 49 degrees. I am Chad Holmes. It is the Wednesday hump day edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on 98.9 WXCO, online at BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. You can also again join us by going to Facebook.com, go to the 98.9 WXCO page, and you'll be able to get a live stream. Add your questions and comments to that as well. Plus, if you have any questions, comments, things you would like to talk about, you can give us a call at 715-382-9297. And that is also our text line as well. So you can either call or text us at 715-382-9297. Would hope that you have a few thoughts on some of the headline news here in Wausau over the past 24 hours. And you can also use your Civic Media app as well to call or text us. Just open up the 98.9 WXCO portion of the app and you can call or text us that way as well. But again, the number, 715-382-9297. Coming up in the second hour of the program, we will be joined by the Executive Director of Wausau's Grand Theater and the Performing Arts Foundation, Sean Wright, as he joins us every other Wednesday here on the program. That will be coming up early on in hour number two. Also, here in hour number one, very happy to welcome back to the program, Bob Look. Bob, good morning.
Well, good morning, and good morning, everybody. As a resident of the village of Rothschild, I heard tell that there is a good deal for a slightly used ballot box that maybe we could put it in the Rothschild Village, you know, to make things better for our citizens to get their votes counted in the election coming up. Have you heard anything about it?
Yeah, it's on wheels, so you could actually move it around to all the communities. This is
mobile, huh?
Yeah, you know, I see it's being moved around, you know.
And it's really nice that some of these city employees that were elected are doing the moving itself. You know, they don't even have to...
You talk about just going beyond the call, right?
Don't have to bring the city department. One of the councilmen or mayors, they could... roll it out to Rothschild. We'll be happy to.
There you go. And I think what Bob is talking about, and I think many of you out there are certainly aware of what's been going on in the last, 24 hours or so, broken originally by the Wausonian. Have to give credit where credit is due. They put it out there first, and then everybody else has been following up on it as the mayor of Wausau, Doug Dinney, on Sunday afternoon, while most of us are just relaxing on the weekend, he decided to head to his workplace and... grabbed a dolly and grabbed a Dropbox. He took it into his office with, you know, basically after being told that no, he did not have the right or the decision making aspect to unilaterally decide that he was going to move this Dropbox. And the city council president, Lisa Rasmussen, very upset about this. Many constituents very upset about this. The mayor is doubling down on it, saying basically that the folks he's talked to don't like Dropboxes. He has concerns, and again, unnamed concerns about the Dropbox.
Well, then then we should have the doors to his office open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, so the citizens could walk right in there and drop off their ballots, you know, in the, for their convenience, which is legal, and it's by the law. I mean, I'm trying to throw silliness on top of this because, in really true fact, it is silly. Okay?
He spoke to the clerk many times, apparently, numerous times. And the clerk, who is the ultimate authority on this issue, did not agree with the mayor. And the mayor claims in doing this that he was elected to tighten things up at City Hall. And apparently he thinks this is one of the areas he was elected to tighten things up with. And again, the idea, and this comes across...
Economic drag is it to have that? What is it cleaning up? What he's doing is making it harder for people to do what they're supposed to do in a democracy, and that is to vote.
But the mayor claims that there's so many other ways you can vote. That's what he said. There's just so many other
there
ways.
There should be an infinitesimal amount of ways you can get your vote to be counted. It should be a lot easier than it is. It's silly. It is absolutely silly. It is, and it's also just one of those simple little things that you can't have it. It's my ball. You know, I'm taking my ball and go home.
And the thing about it, it's even beyond the specific. And I have this, obviously, the voting aspect is vitally important. Again, the idea of somehow suppressing the vote. And that's what, again, this is about. It's about suppressing the vote. This is also, again, about an elected official overstepping his or her bounds. This is something that we see a lot of these. And I'm going to say it more on the right than on the left, where they just seem to think that because they think this. Because they think this, and because the folks they're talking to think this, that they're able to do it. No, that's not the way our system of government works.
Well, you know, I've told this story before on the air. I don't know if I've told it here, but back in 2008 when I was working out of town, I was working out in Eau Claire area.
And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on 98.9 WXCO, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices by searching WXCO, and on Alexa as well, and on the Civic Media app. The time is 8:22, beautiful start, lots of sunshine, lots of blue skies here in downtown Wausau, temperature knocking on the door of 50 degrees. Looks like it's going to be another warm and beautiful day here in central Wisconsin. To talk about that and more, we are joined by our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. Brittany, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Doing terrific.
Imer, how are you doing? I haven't talked to you for a while.
I know. It's good to see your face. How are you guys doing? Good,
doing,
good,
doing great. And obviously, you're somebody that wears a lot of hats. We've talked about it before. You put out the newsletter and our podcast and cover the news and do the weather. And Bob and myself have been talking in the first segment about the breaking news from yesterday that the mayor of Wausau decided on his own Sunday to haul away one of a drop box at City Hall here in Wausau. There was a protest yesterday, and you went over there and you were covering it. I just was curious, what did you see, what did you hear at the City Hall protest before the city council meeting last night?
You know, just some upset residents and people just concerned and wanting a conspiracy theory to end, right? They said that they were there in May protesting, that the box is safe, everything is fine. If anything were to happen, like, there is very little voter fraud, they were saying, and that if it were to happen, it's going to be caught at the next level. So why are we so concerned about this ballot box? Why was it removed? I mean, you know, they're saying that he says it wasn't bolted down and he wanted it to be moved. So if that's the case, why is the payment box still there? Why is the mailbox still there? Those aren't bolted down. They're not in the river. So that's kind of what the vibe was there from the people out there. I'd say a good chunk of maybe 20 or so were standing out there with signs. It was a very peaceful protest. Nothing went wrong, obviously. There's cops there, too, just in case. But I did see a social media post about that city council meeting, right? Well, the ballot box was not supposed to be on the agenda, but I saw posts saying that registered commenters were there and questioning him, and he was responding. And apparently the DA was like, hey, this isn't normal. Usually you don't respond. And he kind of wrapped it up and summed it up. That's what I heard. So kind of digging into this whole story still, obviously breaking news. But yeah, why is it moved? I want to know.
And he put on the Department of Public Works hat and vest and really went all the way. And it's, you know, I know Halloween is coming pretty soon, but that's a little bit in front of it.
Seriously.
But again, I'm sure you'll have reporting on that during our newscast during the course of the day, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Right. And, you know, one of the main things is the municipal city clerk is the only person who's supposed to be moving those boxes and have it. So Caitlin Bernardi has not been talked to, supposedly, by him just yet. He's been too busy. So
well, it's going to be very, very interesting to see if there's any repercussions for this. I know there are a few folks out there that are worried there's not going to be any repercussions, that the mayor will be able to do this and not have any, you know, backlash in terms of official action. So we're going to keep a close eye on that as it continues as well. Well, let's talk about more pleasant stuff, which is the weather. As I look out,
isn't it great?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking outside. The trees are not moving. Just blue skies, sunshine, very pleasant start. You know, cool enough to put on the light jacket to come into work this morning. And we talked last week about how warm it was, and we're going to start to inch up there pretty close to what we were last week. Maybe not quite into the mid 80s, but darn near close to 80 degrees, right?
We sure are. I mean, our average high temperatures for right now should be in the upper 60s. So the fact that we're hitting the mid 70s today and then the upper 70s by tomorrow and into the weekend, that's obviously 10 degrees above where we should be for this time of year. So spoiled in a beautiful September. Wow. Nice dry spell too. No rain in the forecast over this entire week. Now I know that I'm still tracking that tropical storm down south, expected to hit Florida by tomorrow morning, and it's supposed to intensify to a hurricane today, possibly becoming major by tomorrow. That exact system, that exact hurricane, does move its way into the Midwest and kind of jolts to the west towards us. But as of recently, a lot of those models are keeping it down into Illinois. So that means I don't even think any rain over the weekend for us anymore. Maybe just a few more clouds filtering in and still some unseasonable warmth. So really, Wisconsin getting off into amazing temperatures because of that system, lifting that moisture and warmth towards us, but staying far enough away that it's just perfect here.
Yeah, it looks like for the next week or so, still well above normal and really great opportunities as we do get into the weekend for anybody's outdoor activities and even more. So fantastic stuff. What are the details here for the, it's our hump day. We're heading downhill towards the weekend. As we head towards the weekend, what are the details on the forecast?
Oh, Wednesdays are the best. We're going to hit 74 degrees today. Beautiful, perfect temperatures, calm winds out of the north at about 5 miles per hour. And that's what we're going to hang on to all day. A little bit of fog is possible overnight and early tomorrow morning. That's because we're going to be dropping back into those upper 40s and then climbing to 77 degrees. That's the forecast, honestly, for both tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Beautiful. Fantastic. Well, Brittany, thanks for that information. Enjoy the rest of your day. I know you're always busy and always appreciate you spending a few minutes with us here in the morning.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. Have a wonderful day, too.
Bye, Brittany.
Absolutely. Bye. Brittany Merlot, our meteorologist, news person extraordinaire as well. Right now, sunny skies and 52 degrees. Before we continue, we have to say hello.
I know. We missed
him. I know. That was on me. I mean, this is Mr. Busy himself as well, as he's getting set for a big event over at the Grand Theater Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. But say good morning again to our in-studio engineer and producer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Morning, Chad.
Tonight,
good morning, Bob.
Tonight, final dress for you?
Yep. Final dress rehearsal for Center Stage, and then tomorrow is the big day, opening a night. I hope we have a good crowds.
We will make sure to keep talking about that. My plan is to head on over there Saturday evening to see the final show for you and your castmates. And again, we'll talk more about this a little bit later on in the program.
Yeah.
That's Ian Welsh. Across the way is Bob Look. You'll be sticking around for the next half hour.
Beautiful weather for moving ballot boxes.
That is, you know, that is always the thing. Is this a good day to move that ballot box? Oh, the weather looks pretty
perfect. Darn good. We can move it all over the place.
We're going to talk about that and a bunch more. And there's some other things. And I think that it weaves together in a lot of different ways. So we're going to continue here with Bob Luck. And also, before we're done, I saw the preseason hockey rankings are out in the Wisconsin Badgers. Uh-oh, a little groan there. We'll hear from Bob Luck coming up after an information update. News, weather, and sports coming up next. And then back with more on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on 98.9 WXCO, BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. The time is 8:34, 52 degrees under sunny skies, as we do every other Wednesday, spending the first hour talking about what's going on with Bob Luck. In the second hour, we will have Sean Wright, the executive director of the Grand Theater and the Wausau Performing Arts Foundation, joining us as well. We'll talk more about the mayoral issue coming up, but also, as we continue, now just under 6 weeks to go, 41 days until Election Day. We see that the former president is coming back to Wisconsin. We have seen the vice president was in Madison just last week, filling up the Dane County Coliseum like it hasn't been since the Badgers played hockey there.
Yeah, nice to see that building with people in it. Yeah.
But I wanted to throw something out at you here about the presidential campaign. Of course, here in Wisconsin, we are, you can call it fortunate, maybe at times unfortunate because of all the commercials we see, of being one of those handful of swing states. I said this yesterday, and maybe people think, well, you're an idiot, you're getting all the attention from all these candidates, but this is not good for the system, having the same five states get all the attention where we talk about, oh, every vote counts, every vote counts. Well, there's some states where every vote doesn't count when it comes to the presidential race because they know that because of this electoral college system. Right. I think there's something that is very unhealthy about the system when Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania and Arizona and North Carolina seem to get all the attention while everybody else sort of just sits back and are spectators in our democracy. Am I off base there?
No, but again, what made the Electoral College become the way of the land was basically to make slave owners happy. And people go, what? Well, that was what the whole base was back in the early days of this country. The southern states, which had slavery, you know, that was basically the mode of operandi back then, they were afraid that they were going to lose that ability to have slaves working underneath their plantations and their cotton crops or whatever. That electoral college kind of built this in there as like a buffer to so that you wouldn't be overrun by the popular vote of the current states. And of course, the United States is also looking at expanding more and more and more, and they're thinking ahead of time, well, there's going to be more and more people. But again, more and more people to them equates to less and less support for their issues.
Right.
So how does that sound really familiar with what's going on today? Well, we don't want to make it easier for people to vote. We want to make it a little harder for them to register, or else just throw them off the eligible voters' rolls for some unexplainable reason. It is an ongoing battle right now. This is one of these things that a lot of the real ground fighting, I'm meaning ground fighting not in a physical manner, but in going through the courts, stamping out these little forest fires, these little burn areas that they're trying to take away people's votes or making it incredibly hard for people to register to vote. It's because a certain amount of people realizes the more people that get involved, the less likely their side of the issue is going to find any kind of thing to hang their hats on.
And also the idea of the the racist dog whistle is becoming much louder where we're all hearing it, not just the dogs. In fact, this weekend when Trump comes to Prairie du Chien, the idea is that he chose Prairie du Chien because there was an incident of an immigrant who got arrested for domestic violence. My first thought is, why doesn't he come up here? We got a guy down the street who's been arrested for domestic violence twice in the last year. He just doesn't happen to be an immigrant. He happens to be a white guy with a microphone in front of his mouth every day. But when he was talking earlier this week, they don't even care that these folks are here legally. They're working hard. The communities they're part of wanted them here, and they do want him here. And he's screaming, we have to get them the hell out of here. It is disgusting that the way that Trump and Vance are campaigning on this issue, and that is how they're going to try to win this election, isn't it? Pure racism.
Pretty much, right, yeah. Well, at no time should racism take over, you know, for being, you know, a supporter of this country. Racism should never take over patriotism. I mean, that. Think of that, folks.
Yeah.
Racism should never take the place of patriotism. When people start waving the flags and saying, I'm an American, but if you aren't, you know, willing to let the American dream apply for everybody who wants it, then you are not an American. As far as I'm concerned, you are, you know, trying to restrict it. It is something that's kind of gone through this, you know, through many years with other ethnic people running into that deal,
yep,
running into that obstacle. And it just takes, you know, it takes persistence, it takes patience, and it also takes a will of the people to get up and demand, this is America, this is a democracy, this is where everyone has a chance. Not being, you know, I have a chance, but we don't want you to have a chance.
And the thing about it is,
you're not our kind of people.
And also the thing about it is, this melting pot, which has been such a tradition of our country, still works today. And in fact, last Wednesday night, I do a high school sports show, and this was not meant to be a question that was being asked to talk about any kind of melting pot, but my co-host asked the coach of Abbotsford High School, and I think anybody who knows Abbotsford knows that it's a very diverse area. They have immigrants that work in that part of the county. And my co-host asked him about, you know, during the off season, how do you try to build your program and build the roster and build camaraderie? And the coach started talking about the makeup of the team, that it's different because of they have, you know, an immigrant population and other racial identities that are part of the Abbotsford community and then part of the team, and they don't have the same background when it comes to football that maybe some of the other schools in the area have. He said basically you're not born and then handed a football. I think it's kind of like Edgar, you know, where they're handing a football, where, hey, this is what we're going to do. But he talked about how positive it's been, how the group comes together, and that's why, you know, they're 5-0 this season. They, you know, they may not have the background of football, but they certainly work hard. They try to learn the game. They just get into the trenches and battle. And I thought that was a great microcosm of what we should be striving for right now, because there's so much that needs to be done in this country. We talk all the time about the number of jobs that need to be done, that we do need the immigrant population, not just at what you call the lower level jobs. We need the minds, the brilliance of so many immigrants to help at the other end of the scale as well in this country. And yet you have folks, and I think you're talking about some groups that back 100-120 years ago were the ones being discriminated against. Well, you get here, then you pull up the ladder. You know, you can't do that. That doesn't work. And it hurts the country as a whole.
Well, I remember as a kid, you know, this is going back in the, you know, 60s. You know, I was born in 55. And I remember listening to radio stations in the Milwaukee area. And there'd be certain, especially on the weekends, they would have the German hour. They would have the Polish hour, because there was still a lot of personnel, and I know that from my own experience. My parents, I used to love this when I was a kid, when my parents and their other siblings and, of course, their parents suddenly wanted to get into a discussion about something they really didn't want the kids to know, right. Boom, they break into the Polish. Yeah, and off they go. And I'd be sitting there, you know, as a kid going, how come they don't want me to hear what's going on here, you know? But it was probably nothing that was really terrible for me to hear, but it was one of these things that they wanted to feel, you know, like, you know, they're like the old country. And my generation was the one that, you know, basically I know some words in Polish, and when someone speaks Polish, I can kind of like figure out where they're going with it. Mm-hmm. But as far as the communication and really good at it, no. But that was the evolution of the immigrants from that era now getting, you know, into the mainstream of deals. And when I was also a kid, I used to work on a commercial farm, Van Beck Farm, which is right across the street from Mitchell Field, which was always kind of a cool thing, especially when they had the air show back in the day. We'd be out there picking beets and stuff, and there'd be the Blue Angels, you know, right. Going over our head like about 20 feet. Woo! Hey, look at that! But on the grounds there, they had trailers and that, and migrant workers who came to work. You know, the crops and that for this farm. And I was with, you know, these Latin American families and people. And this was like, you know, I was 12, 13, 14 years old. And it was like, wow, you know, this is kind of neat. A different background, and you interact, and everyone smiles. Everyone likes jokes. Everyone is having a good time working hard out in the field. You know, and you start realizing, hey, guess what? We're all human.
And these folks want to be here so much badly. And I just think, I mean, but it is.
What does it say on the Statue of Liberty?
Yes. And I just, the tone that Vance and Trump. Actually, next week is the vice presidential debate. And I have to admit, I'm not usually a fan of these debates. I just think they're dog and pony shows, and I think most of the time the moderators are trying to make a name for themselves way too often. But I have to say, I am curious to see this one, because I do think that Tim Walz is a brilliant guy, in addition to being a guy that can really connect. And wow. I am just so curious to see how J.D. Vance handles things, because he comes across as a guy that is not going to be able to handle himself very well under the spotlight.
Again, you know, the debates and that, okay, if you're want to listen to and see who does this. And
it's entertainment purposes
it's basically WrestleMania, but with words.
It is.
Okay? It's like you expect to have, you know, Michael Buffer, let's get ready to debate.
Well,
you know.
Real fast. The first debate back in June, I was so angry. Because one thing I can't stand about the way CNN packages their political coverage is they call it either election night in America, debate night in America, like it's football night in America.
I keep wanting to hear dun-dun-dun-dun.
But they had their little, as they introduced Trump and Biden for that first debate, they had their little music on the background. And I wanted to throw a brick through the television, because I thought, this is being treated like it's Sunday night football. It is wrong for this country. But I'm sorry, but you're right. We're not going to find out anything that we don't know about the Democratic ticket or the Republican ticket next week.
And at least the part that needed to be done, and that is keep an audience,
yes,
live audience, out of the debate.
But Trump says the audience loved him at the last debate. He must be hearing cheers in his head.
Again, his pep rallies and that just intertwine, and it's, you know, so it's, you know, leave it as is.
Oh, you're so nice.
I refuse to get, you know, but you're talking about the blowing the racial whistle.
Yeah.
When that one commercial that they have running about this gentleman who lived in Ladysmith, Wisconsin, and he ended up in an accident that killed him, and he's got three daughters, young daughters. And so they go, these three gals will not have their father to take them down the aisle. They says, not when an illegal immigrant, you know, drove drunk and killed. It's like that was on his agenda that day, was to go out and kill somebody in an auto accident. It's not the auto accident. It's not the drinking of the driving. It's the point that it's an illegal immigrant.
Well,
and that's what is the problem.
Before we come go away for just a moment, have you seen the Van Orden spot against Rebecca Cook?
Yes.
The big black faces again, Mandela Barnes.
Mandela Barnes.
It is right from the book of the Ron Johnson campaign.
He's like, well, what does it have to do with this election?
She likes these black people. I mean, it's disgusting. And that was one that he actually says, I'm Derek Van Orden, and I approve this message.
It was not a
third power. Right. This was Derek Van Orden. We'll be right back here with Bob Look. One more segment to go.
We'll try to be nicer in the next segment, okay?
98.9 WXCO. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO. 8:51 here on this Wednesday morning. Bob Look with us for the entire hour. And Bob is actually thinking about this, that 2 weeks from now, I want to ask you a question. 2 weeks from today, when you're back here, will the Milwaukee Brewers still be playing?
Oh, still be playing baseball?
Yeah.
Yes.
That means they're going to get through this year in the first round.
Yes.
Okay. As you look at it, I mean, we're down to the final days of the season. Right now, it's, you know, they're 2.5 behind Philly, so it looks like they're going to have to play that first round series. They had a little rough go against Arizona until that big comeback on Sunday. What's your take right now as we head to the final few days of the regular season?
Manager Pat Murphy had the right way. He says, we can't take our foot off the gas. When they clinched the deal with Philadelphia, it was like everyone just took a big deep breath and, and I think Murph has been around long enough where he goes, okay, recess is over, time out, I'll get to work. And you could tell, you know, that there was a little bit more attention to detail, especially when he came back and won that last game. I mean, when they were down 8-0, and I was watching the game. You know, yeah, the Packer game was on, but I was watching baseball, and after the three innings, I says, all their at bats were still pretty good leading up to that. Something's going to light the flame here, and they didn't do it with big bang boom, you know, but they did it the way that they're very efficient at doing it, and that one inning that still stands out. You got two outs, nobody on, you're trailing by three runs in the eighth inning. And then you start it out with a walk. And then another hit. And another hit drives it around. And then Reese Hoskins with a major league at bat. Mm-hmm. Not trying to hit a big, long home run, but put his bat on the ball, served it out to right center field, drove into tying runs. And then the winning run is driven in by a ball that never got out of the infield.
Yeah.
That's how you win baseball games. And I think that they'll still be playing. They really do.
And that's the way the Milwaukee Brewers have to win baseball games.
Correct.
I mean, this is a team that offensively needs to be able to do it in that respect. I mean, yeah, they're going to have their – get Willie hit another three-run homer at some point, but they have to do everything right because they are not better than everybody else. They have to play better than everybody else.
Yeah, they just can't walk out there and just say, well, we're so good that we can just throw our – helmets out on the field and then automatically win. No, but I like, you know, how they believe in themselves. They got a good, and then all these players who've been injured and all, they're all still traveling for the team and they're all part of the team. And it's all, you know, like Wade Miley's still out there and Woodruff is still
Yelich
is still there, you know, and they could very easily be home putting their feet or just staying in town and waiting till they come back, you know, and show up in the dugout there. They're on the road all the time. Miley's been there since the beginning of the year, and Woodruff too after the surgery. So there's, you know, if they're not playing in 2 weeks, it's not because they haven't busted their tail to try.
Another question. Last night, we'll put your prognosticator's hat on. Well, last night, Willie Adames joined the 30-20 club with his 20th stolen base with his 32 home runs.
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to be a Milwaukee Brewer next year?
No. However, again, what he does from now and in through the playoffs is going to be a great determining factor in how much of that number keeps going up. Because there's a lot of teams that, they are looking for somebody that can do well during the season. but there's also a lot more things that get managers and general managers and scouts more excited, and that is how you perform in big moments. Now, having three-run home runs and having those home runs late in games is a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
But I look back to the time when he was in the playoffs with Tampa Bay, and there are a lot of times where Willie kind of falls into that, I'm going to pull everything, and I'm the next home run hitter that is going to hit the big, big bomb. Yes, he does occasionally, but he's one of those guys we like to say, warning track power. He'll hit the ball well, but, you know, the conditions have to be right. And you also know when you start getting into this time of year, it's colder.
Yeah.
Ball doesn't travel as far. So I just hope that I hope that the major league mentality rubs itself off. What Reese Hoskins did with that little bloop, to me, should be replayed over and over and over with any of the younger players when they have some people on base. Don't try to get it all in one swipe.
Our last 2 minutes. You being the PA voice of Badger hockey, I saw the Badgers number 10. What are your thoughts as you get ready for another season?
Number 10 for what?
I know it's for entertainment purposes only, but
same thing.
Their name is it. Mean what it doesn't mean. It means there's some respect for the program.
Well, it has to be from last year. Coach Mike Hastings has done a nice job getting that respect back, which was really, you know, teetering there. And when you get that respect back, you get a lot of players who are now more interested in wearing the Cardinal and white. The portal program, we're seeing some new names that are going to be on this team. I look at the roster now, and I got a whole new team.
You
got
to get the work.
I've maybe got five guys, you know, still from last year, and it's like, you know, everything else has changed. But it'll be interesting. We'll see what happens. But being rated 10, that's like picking a horse race and the horses never even ran.
Right.
You're just guessing. Oh, it looks good.
When is the first game?
First home game is October 11th.
Oh, man, that's not very far off.
No.
That's the weekend after we see you next,
yeah,
right?
The first real game is October 5th. They're down playing Nebraska-Omaha for some, you know, special college game. So nice. They actually kick off before.
I'm an Omaha fan, actually.
Oh,
because Kevin Conley played there.
Yeah,
former West kid, just a few years ago.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I started following them.
What I always liked about their jerseys is, why do they have a card game on the front of their jersey? It says UNO. Uno.
With that,
that's it.
What's the old thing? Always say a great line, and then say thanks, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Bob, always good to have you.
Thank you.
Have a great rest of the week, and we'll catch you in 2 weeks.
And I'll be on the lookout for those slightly used ballot boxes.
Sean Wright coming up in the next hour. 98.9 WXCO.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.